I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd. You see, that's the way Jesus described himself. There are those shepherds who are bad. In fact, in John chapter 10, Jesus talked about those individuals who were hirelings. They were not good shepherds. It's just a job for them. And whenever they'd be in charge of the sheep, if some adversity came along, they'd just take off running. Why? It's not my sheep. You know, no real concern about me. And there is that good shepherd. And you and I need to understand the importance of the fact that God has placed shepherds in the church. Let's look at 1 Peter. Let's look at the words that are used in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. I make no apologies for preaching this, even though you will know many of the things that will be in this lesson, perhaps all of them. I'm not aware that I'm going to say anything much that is new. But Peter, when he writes 1 Peter, the church had been in existence for 30 years. Because of the miraculous gifts that were given, they were able to immediately ordain elders in every church. That's a remarkable thing. Elders were all around the place. And yet Peter writes this and says, though you know these things, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And so in chapter 5, he begins in verse 1 saying, the elders who are among you, I exhort. Let's take a minute and look at that word elders and how it's used in this passage. It's found in verse 1 where he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder. Have you ever thought about the fact that Peter was an apostle and an elder? I don't know how much that would impact you, but if you've ever sat in an elders meeting and see elders function and the respect they have for one another, can you imagine when some topic comes up that everybody stops and just turns to Peter and say, what are we going to do? He says, even though I am an apostle, I am a fellow elder. The word fellow indicates an equality. Have you ever thought about the fact that in the New Testament church where there were slaves, there were those individuals who were slaves to their masters. But when it came to the spiritual side, those slaves could have been elders in the church. In that sense, while they were overseers, or they were those who were being overseen by their masters in reference to their spiritual lives, there were slaves who were over their masters. And I know it would have been difficult to have been an elder of the church where Peter was an elder because of the respect that you have for him, but elders today have that same type of thing. There are individuals who are elders, who've seen other individuals be elders, and they have great, great respect, and they want to hear what they've got to say in every respect. Now, I'm not trying to minimize Peter being there, but I am trying to emphasize that when God set up the church, he placed fellow elders in it. Now, there are three Greek words. There are six Greek words in the English. There are three Greek words, and there are six English words used to describe elders. I want us to take a minute and look in this passage how all three of those Greek words are found. We'll talk about the English words as we talk about them. But there are these three words that describe these individuals. The first one is elders. And if you look at the screen, you can see how the word elder has been highlighted in red letters. But they were also over overseers. We'll look at overseers in just a minute, but let's go back long enough to say that the Greek word for elder is presbyteros. Sometimes you'll read in the Bible, at least in the King James Version, not the New King James Version or any of the latter versions, you'll read the word presbyters, presbytery. You and I need to understand that that is the Greek word. And what it means is somebody that's older. And since an elder cannot be a novice, it has to do not specifically with their age, though they've got to be old enough to have children who are believers, but it emphasizes the spiritual eldership, the spiritual wisdom that would come with age. What about the word overseers? Well, obviously this Greek word, overseers, is the translation of the Greek word episkopos. Episkopos. Epi meaning over. You've got two layers of skin. You've got an outer layer and you've got an underlaying element of skin. Which one is on top? Well, it is the epidermis. And so the word epi in English and in Greek means over. The word episkopos, you hear the last part of that word, the word scope in that word. Telescope, microscope. Scope this out. What does that mean? It means to look in various ways, magnified or at a distance because of the prefix, but it literally means to see. Here is the Greek word, episkopos. And all that is the rendering of the precise and the exact meaning of this word used to describe elders. They are overseers. Look again at this passage, and you will see that the word shepherd is found. It's found at the part at beginning in verse 2. Sometimes in translations, it is the word feed. It is really the Greek word that is translated pastor. Pastor. If you can think of a pasture where the sheep are found, you'll have some idea of what a pastor is. It is that individual who feeds the sheep. And so the verb form of the word shepherd is used here to describe these individuals who are in the church, and that is, they are shepherds. That's why we're going to talk about the good shepherd. How on earth can you possibly remember these six English words? I don't think that this is on the final test to get into heaven. But one of the ways that has been used to talk about the meaning of these six words in the English is to form a new word, because an elder must have children, then elders must be pops. You take the first letter of those six English words and make a brand new word out of it, and you've got the B for bishop. You've got the E for elders. You've got the P for pastors. You've got you've got the letter O for overseers. And then you've got the last P for presbyters. There are these six words. Elders must be pastors, and they must be shepherds, which is the S on that word. That's not a bad way to try to remember it. I think it's unfortunate in reality that these six words were used by the translators of the King James when they could have just as easily used three words. The words being elder, the word being overseer, and the word being shepherd. How wonderful it would have been to have had all of these words and used in continuity then instead of in other ways. Now let's, having said that, we need to see that this This passage shows that elders only have authority in one local congregation. Bishops only have authority. Pastors only have authority. Shepherds only have authority. Overseers only have authority in that flock which is among you. An illustration of that in the history of this congregation was some 25 plus years ago when the work up in Jupiter was started. 30 or 40 of our members went up into that area and on a Sunday began a brand new congregation. The very Sunday that church began, it was no longer, the members no longer were under the oversight of these elders who were here. Oversee the flock of God which is among you. Now then, he says, they are not to be lords. You see, whenever you use the word overseers, they're all different kinds of overseers. But the Bible wanted individuals to understand that while there is in the world those who are in authority and who exercise all kinds of authority that has been given unto them, that's not the kind of authority that elders have. We are to submit ourselves to them, but they do not have the authority like in the secular world where there are lords and there are those who are not lords. Elders are not lords over God's people. And a question that elders ought to always keep in mind is what I am saying, and I'm trying to force my will on the church in such a way that I would be lording over the flock. You and I need to understand that elders are those who have been entrusted with the sheep of Jesus, and they are to live a life that is an example before the church. Obey them that have the rule over you and imitate their faith. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, the word imitate is the Greek word mimic. Elders have a responsibility to live before the congregation so that people can see what Christianity is all like, and they can mimic their faith, imitate their faith, considering the end of their faith. If the path that they're going down is one that leads to heaven, then by imitating, mimicking their faith, that's exactly where I will wind up. And the Lord has entrusted them His sheep. Look one other time and understand that this passage talks about a chief shepherd. That someday he shall appear, that's in verse 4, and you elders will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. What an encouragement this ought to be to every elder who shepherd the flock of God, who's taken the very sheep of God and done everything they possibly can to help those sheep go to heaven. And on that day, to have the chief shepherd give them a crown of glory that does not fade away. This lesson is important because today is a historic day in the history of Palm Beach Lakes. We shall later in our services ordain a new elder. What does that mean? Well, it means that the destiny of this church is being placed in the hands of another, though we already have five elders, of another shepherd who can perhaps steer this church for the next 30 or 40 years. You think about Johnny, you think about Jerry, and you think about Joe. 40 years ago, there was that day that they were appointed to be elders, not all on the same day, though Joe and Johnny were both appointed on the same day, for 40 years. And the very direction of this church has been impacted by that decision that was made by that church on that day. That's why this day is so important. Do you recognize that it is possible that those who are elders today could be elders in the church in the year 2040, perhaps 2050? And your children, even those who are not married, your children will be impacted by those who are elders. And the reality is perhaps even your grandchildren. Peggy, you think about you and the days that going way, way back in the history of this church, who would have ever dreamed that you and your children would be impacted by those individuals who were impacted? That's why this day is so important. You and I need to understand everything we possibly can understand about elders. I want us to take some time to emphasize the fact that God has always taken care of His children. He didn't just throw us out here as orphans on this earth, spiritual orphans, or even orphans itself in this world. God has always taken care of His children. In what we call the patriarchal age, there were those individuals like Adam who lived 930 years. Are you aware that Adam knew Enoch? You stop and think about 7 generations. And here they are trying to figure out about sin and about the consequences of sin and everything. And all of a sudden, it's not like they're wandering around in the midst of darkness. There's Adam that could tell everything about that had happened in the Garden of Eden. It's not just her grandfather. It's not just her great-grandfather. You put however many greats you want to put in there and then add the word grandfather. Are you aware? Are you aware that Shem, who was in the ark with Noah, could have known Abraham? That's why we call it the patriarchal age. And then obviously, the responsibility that every earthly father feels to his children is in there. In Israel, he did not leave them to wander about by themselves. There were those priests that were ordained by God whose responsibility was to help individuals and to learn the laws of God. And then there were those prophets who spoke the very laws of God. Why? Because God's trying to take care of His children. You and I need to understand that He gave them a king to take care of His people. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. Here's what God had in mind for kings. King Saul was not like this. King Solomon was not like this. But listen to this admonition. Before they ever enter the promised land, it shall be when the king sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him. And he shall read it all the days of his life. Every day, spend time reading that own handwritten copy he'd made of the Bible. I know of a sister in Ohio who has, in the last year or so, decided she'll just make a handwritten copy of the Bible. She said, "You'd be amazed how much you learn." The last time I heard, that was months ago, she was in the book of Proverbs. She said, "Nothing has ever helped me better to understand and to focus on what God is saying." Can you imagine a king sitting down and writing down Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and all of the principles that are there, and then every day of his life he's got his own personal copy at a time whenever there are multitudes of copies of the Bible. He's got his own personal copy and he reads it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord and be careful to observe all of the words of this law and his statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in the kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. God was trying to take care of his people. And he made that provision. He had the priest, he had the prophets, and he wanted to have the king. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that these things were things that happened. You and I, as we think about the nature of this, and David, if you'll bring me those other sheets of paper, I've mixed up, I've left three sheets of my papers down here. He gave them a king. He's always taken care of his children. There were those in Israel. There were those who were the prophets and who were the priests, and those who were the king. If you just put up the next slide, maybe we can do it from that. He was always had someone to take care of the king. Locally, in the church, there were those individuals who were called elders, not in the church, but in Israel, elders of the cities and elders of the nation. And the Bible talks sometimes about them and about their lack of responsibility. You see this in the cities of refuge. And you see it when all of these things transpire in the cities of refuge. They would the individual would come to that city of refuge. He'd sit down and talk to the elders of the city. They were recognized. In the case of Ruth and Boaz, the presentation was made before the elders of the city. And they were a part of God's way of taking care of the children. Let's have the next slide. His ultimate plan was to bring about something far greater than this. And that is to have one flock. That's the church. And in that one flock to have shepherds that were like that chief shepherd. You know, here's our problem. Our problem is that we do not understand the nature of shepherds. Let's take just a minute so that you and I can grasp. In the ancient world, they understood what a shepherd was. When we were in New Zealand and went to New Zealand, there were 3 million people and at least 40 million sheep. I read in one place there were 80 million sheep among 3 million people. That's a world we know nothing at all about. And it's not that those individuals in New Zealand understand everything, because you can imagine a sheep, a shepherd that has, 30,000 or 50,000 sheep. But in biblical times, they understood what it was like. He had his own flock. But because the Bible thoroughly supplies us unto every good work, it gives those of us who did not grow up in a sheep world an understanding about what a shepherd did. They readily understood it. But you and I do not readily understand it. Whenever we read about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What on earth is that? If you lived in that sheep world, you would have understood what that staff was. You've seen that long piece of wood that has the crook on the end, has the hook on the end of it. The sheep might be falling down into a crevice somewhere and he'd reach down, or sheep's falling down, he'd reach and gently uses that. You know what the rod could be used for? The rod could be used to defend the sheep. If some robbers came in, he had a weapon. He had the rod in his hand. He could use that. Sometimes when there was a wayward sheep, and listen to this, sometimes when there was a sheep that just continually wandered off and went on its own path like a goat sometimes would do, he could take that rod and injure, perhaps even break the leg of that sheep. But he didn't leave the sheep there lying on the ground. He literally picked up that sheep to carry it with him. What about those newborn lambs? Listen to this description of a shepherd. And the people in biblical times understood this. And when they thought about shepherds, this is what they thought of. And when they read about shepherds in the church, here's what they would think of. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Do you understand? While the words bishop and overseers describe the authority, and the word presbyter and the word elders describes the maturity of the individuals, it is this word pastor. It is this word shepherd. And in the biblical world, they had seen that again and again. Some sheep that was hurt, and he was concerned about them. Historically, to understand sheep, think about David. Young David, as a shepherd, when he had his sheep and the lion and the bear. You remember when he fought Goliath? And when King Saul tried to place unto him, on them, the armament of King Saul, are you aware of the fact that David said on that occasion, the Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear. I was out there taking the sheep, and I took care of the sheep. And you and I need to understand that there are lions and bears that need to be taken off in our own day. When King Saul failed as a king, listen to this verse, these words from Psalms chapter 78 about David and the contrast between Saul, who was a military leader who exercised lordship over Israel, and David, a shepherd. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes and the youngs. He brought them to shepherd Israel, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his own hands. Isn't that remarkable? Integrity. The key word as you think about the responsibility that an elder has to the flock. What you see in every one of our elders needs to be a reflection of the integrity of their hearts. Then finally, let's spend time, just a few minutes, with the 23rd Psalm. What's a shepherd like? The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. A sheep can look at his shepherd and says, I trust him. I may not understand the why he's made this particular decision or that particular decision, but I trust him because he has in the forefront of his mind what my needs are. In the midst of a world where there are lions and bears and wolves in sheep's clothing, elders have the responsibility in the midst of all of this to provide green pastures, food for them, nourishing kind of food. And that's why it is to these shepherds that he's given the responsibility, shepherd the flock of God, feed the flock of God which is among you, the green pastures. And the still water talks about the serenity of mind that enables us to have peace. I think specifically because we're right in the midst of it. Of the many hours that I've been able to be a part of listening to the elders discuss, what are we going to do about this COVID thing? What's best for the church? What does the church need at a time like this? And it is so far from reality for anybody to even begin to imagine, well, they just sit up like they're, and they make arbitrary decisions. They have prayed and prayed about this issue. As they pray and pray about all issues, what does the church need at a time like this? The very balance between spiritual food that we all need and dealing with the awe that is that accompanies all of that because of what is in our society, to have peace of mind that the decisions that are being made will not always be a right decision in your mind or in the mind of another. For every decision that an elder makes is going to be, there'll be those who will not agree with every decision they make. It's matters of judgment. But here are spiritual-minded men who have the kingdom of God and the flock of God in the forefront, and with integrity of heart, they take the law of God, not a handwritten copy, but one hopefully that has been written on their hearts, and use the precepts of God to help us in relationship to this. He restores my soul. Think of how easy it is for us to be spiritually exhausted. And the responsibility of an elder is, when they look at the Good Shepherd, is to have one who can lift up and restore their souls, leading them in paths of righteousness for God's sake. That's what an elder is. And he's with them in the valleys of their life, like the walking through the valley of the shadow of death or any other valley that every one of us finds us in. They're there with them, those sheep who are hurting. And they provide feast and oil in the midst of the enemy. And they provide a dwelling place in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This house, not this building, but this family of God in this place. And this family of God in another place, because shepherds have led us and we've mimicked their faith to arrive at that other place. And you know what that's like? The house of God, it's a place where there is goodness. And it is a place where there will be mercy. There will be mercy. It's not the only place we could go. When this sermon started, I had another 10 or 15, maybe 20 minutes based on John chapter 10 on the Good Shepherd in that place. We'll save that for another time. But because of what is happening today in this service, I want you and all of us to understand the very importance and to mark this down as a day in the history of this church that can impact the church for the next 20 or 30 years or more. God help us. Let's sing that song of invitation. It may be that there's sin in your life. You need to deal with it. If you're not a child of God, this day is the very day you need to become a child of God, to become a part of His sheep. You need to believe in Jesus, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Jesus. And all of these words are not some formula, some man made up. These are the words of God, and the Scriptures are there on the screen to indicate it. And then there is that being baptized. And when one is baptized, he's added to the family of God. He becomes a part of God's flock. And he can live faithful to serve God until the day that he dies. And thank God that God has made the provision for us to have elders who will enable that to help us. We are so blessed and have been blessed for the nearly 40 years I've been here. to have had good and godly men as elders. Let's remember them in our prayers. But let's also deal with sin in our life. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come forward as together we stand and sing? Will you come?